Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International. You are listening to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zinat, for the next hour, inshallah. And Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We commence our program this morning with Monday morning focus, as usual. Our focus this morning, inshallah, is all about being an ideal Muslimah, of course. And today we're looking at a Muslim woman is generous. We're going to be looking at the importance of generosity and also share with you some examples of well-known Muslim women and their generosity. That will be followed by Socially Speaking with our guest Maulana Muhammad Benker from KwaZulu-Natal. And our topic today, or this morning inshallah, will be the absence of barakah in our lives today, how it affects us, and also inshallah Maulana will be looking at the formulas from hadith inshallah. Well, we start off with Monday morning focus then, and yesterday we're talking about a Muslim woman should be generous. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, listeners, one of the characteristics of a Muslim woman who adheres to the teachings of Islam is that she's generous and she gives freely. Her hands are always stretched forth to give those who are in need, and whenever she hears the call of one who is in difficulty or it is appropriate to give generously, she responds to the need. So basically, one of the characteristics that a Muslim woman should have is that of generosity. She should be generous at all times and should be able to give freely, for the pleasure of Allah. Right. She is certain that whatever she gives will not go to waste, for it is recorded with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has full knowledge of all things. And he says in the Holy Quran, in chapter 2, verse 273, Allah ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and whatever of good you give, be assured that Allah knows it well. So no matter how little you give, remember that Allah certainly knows about it. So you can hide nothing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not the bad, not the good. So even the smallest good you do, inshallah, Allah will reward you for that. She also believes that when she spends her money generously, that whatever she spends will come back to her manifold, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply its reward in this world and in the next. Of course, when we talk about spending it freely, it's not spending it freely on ourselves and our families and our friends, but we spend it with the intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, of course, and making it easier for the next person, whoever it may be. If there's any person out there that is in need, you spend money on them, then Allah Ta'ala will reward you for that manifold, inshallah. And of course, your rewards will be multiplied in this world and in the next world. So you definitely will be rewarded for it, not only in the hereafter, but definitely in this world as well. Once again, with regards to it, in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in chapter 2, verse 261, the parable of those who spend their substance in the way of Allah is that of a grain of corn. It grows 7 years, and each ear has 100 grains. So this is how Allah ta'ala explains this to us, that, a grain, for every grain, of corn, of course, 7 ears are grown. So you'll see 7 ears coming, and of course on each grain, you just look at a mealie, and that will be, it'll explain, what it actually means for you to receive rewards, manifolds, alhamdulillah. So one corn has so many little grains on them, if you look at them. So that's how it spreads from one, you get more and you get more and you get more. Allah gives manifold increase to whom He pleases, and Allah cares for all, and He knows all things. In another verse in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala also says, and in chapter 34 verse 39, Allah Ta'ala says, and nothing do you spend in the least in His cause, but He replaces it. So for every good that you do, every bit of money perhaps that you spend on someone else that is in need, Allah will reward you manifold, not only in this world, but in the year after as well. A Muslim woman also knows that if she's not saved from the meanness of her own nature and her desire to hoard wealth and treasure, she will eventually lose her wealth and it will be wasted. And the Prophet ﷺ said, every morning that the servants of Allah get up, two angels will come down, or comes down actually. One of them says, O Allah, give compensation to the one who spends, and the other says, O Allah, cause loss to the one who is stingy. So remember, Allah has given us so much, and we should not hoard what we have. We should, if Allah has given us, then we must remember to give a portion to the poor and the needy from there. And if by doing this, Allah Ta'ala increases whatever you have, if He increases your wealth, if you give from your wealth, Allah will certainly increase your wealth. Whatever you give, He will give you too. He will give back to you. But remember that every morning, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that every morning, the servants of Allah, when we get up every morning, two angels come down. And what do these two angels do? One of them gives, ask Allah to give compensation to the one who spends, and the other one will say, Allah, cause loss to the ones who are stingy. So, and in the Hadith Qudsi, it is said that, spend, O son of Adam, and I shall spend on you. So if you spend, Allah will spend on you. The true Muslim woman believes that spending money for the sake of Allah will never decrease her wealth in the slightest. Rather, it will bless, it will purify, and it will increase your wealth, inshallah. As the Prophet ﷺ stated, charity does not decrease wealth. So, I don't think, you know, we should never think by giving what we have, we will become poorer. Definitely not. By giving, Allah Ta'ala will increase your wealth. And like Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, charity does not decrease wealth. So if you give, you get. It's as simple as that. And if you start believing that, inshallah, you know, truly believe that if I give this person this money, Allah Ta'ala will give back to me. Maybe He doesn't give it in one way, but He certainly will give it to you back in another way. A Muslim woman knows that whatever she spends for the sake of Allah is in fact that which is truly saved, because it is recorded in the book of her good deeds. So it is saved for you. It is recorded in your book of good deeds. While everything else will eventually disappear. The Prophet ﷺ drew the Muslims' attention to this higher understanding of generous giving when he asked Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha one day, what was left of the sheep that they had slaughtered? And then she told him, nothing but the shoulder. He asked her, what was left of the sheep that they had slaughtered? So they had slaughtered the sheep, obviously, and perhaps given away most of the sheep. So Rasulullah asked her, what is left of it? And she told him, nothing but the shoulder. And look at what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replies. He said, everything except the shoulder is saved. So what it means is all that you had given away is saved in your good books, except the shoulder that is still left. So, you know, that is how we should always remember that whatever, you know, whatever good we do, that is saved for us in our books of good deeds. Alhamdulillah. The true Muslim woman is highly motivated by all of this to give generously to whatever possessions and goods come to her. So whatever possessions you have, whatever goods you have, then please remember to give generously from it. Always remember the poor and the needy. And, you know, sometimes it's important for us to also remember that, you know, to give to your immediate family is, you know, what we as Muslims should do first. We must first look at our immediate family before looking at others. An example of giving on the part of Muslim women is a well-known report narrated by Bukhari from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went out on the day of Eid and he prayed 2 rakats with no prayer before or after. That is, he prayed only 2 rakats of salah. Then he came to the women and he commanded them to give in charity. So, you know, this is the type of women that were in the previous era. So they started to give their earrings and necklaces in charity. Anything that they had, they would give in charity. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to command them to do something, they would not ask questions, they would do it immediately. Simply because they knew that what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked of them was indeed going to benefit them in this world and in the year after. And to, well, just according to another report, also given by Bukhari, it said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually came to the women and he commanded them to give in charity. So they began to throw their rings into Bilal's club. And simply because Bilal accompanied Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that occasion. And then other examples again of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the women of the Salaf set the highest example of generous giving, and their deeds are recorded by history in letters of light. So I'll share with you some of the examples given to us about the women of that time. In one of the biographies of Aisha radiallahu anha, it states that she gave 70,000 dirhams in charity at the time when she was putting patches on her dress. So while she was patching her dress, she gave away 70,000 dirhams in charity. And then Muawiyah, another example is Muawiyah sent her 100,000 dirhams and she gave it all away in charity before evening fell. So when they had, they would never keep it. They would never hoard it with them and think of tomorrow. They would try and get rid of it immediately so that it was no burden on them. So she gave away all of that dirhams in charity before the evening. So when her servant said to her, "Why did you not buy a dirham's worth of meat with it?" She said, "Okay, oh, why didn't you tell me to do so?" So that was, you know, buying things for herself, buying food for herself. We would obviously think the other way around. First, let's, make sure that we have enough for ourselves before giving to others. But the women of that time would think about everything else and everybody else but themselves. Then Muawiyah also sent her bracelets worth 100,000. What did she do with it? She shared it among the other wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She didn't keep it to herself. Would we do a thing like that these days? I certainly don't think we would. Then Ibn al-Zubayr sent her money in two containers to the amount of about 100,000. Now what did she do? She called for a large tray and she began to share the money among the people. When evening came, she said, "Oh young girl, bring me a fatur." A fatur is actually food with which to break fast. For she, Aisha radiallahu anha, used to fast all the time. Then the young girl, obviously, the maid servant, said to her, "Oh mother of the believers, could you not have bought us just a dirham worth of food or meat for that matter?" And once again, she didn't think of herself, and she said to her servant, "Do not rebuke me. If you had perhaps reminded me, I would have done so." So that, you know, they would never think about themselves, about, you know, their own clothing, their own food, you know, things that I need for myself first before I can give whatever I have left over. That was never the way the women in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to behave. This is just an example of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. Then her sister Asma radiallahu anha was no less generous. She was just as generous, if not more, than Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. Abdullah ibn Az-Zubayr radiallahu anhu said this about her. He said that I never saw two women more generous than Aisha and Asma radiallahu anha. But their ways of being generous, of course, were different. He said Aisha radiallahu anha would accumulate things and then share them out, whilst Asma radiallahu anha would never keep anything until the next day. So Aisha radiallahu anha would still perhaps get a few things together and then give it out, but like we saw earlier, they would never sleep, you know, knowing that they had something extra in their homes. And of course, Asma radiallahu anha would never obviously keep anything, you know, until the next day either. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wife, Zainab bint Yajash radiallahu anha, used to work with her own hands and give in charity from her earnings. She was most generous of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wives in giving freely and doing good deeds. According to a hadith narrated by Imam Muslim from Aisha radiallahu anha, that is another wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, talking about one of her co-wives. Aisha radiallahu anha used to say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his wives about Zainab radiallahu anha, and he says, "The first of you to join me after death will be the one who has the longest hand." So Aisha radiallahu anha said, all the wives then began to measure their hands against one another to actually see who had the longest hand. And the one who had the longest hand, actually of all of them, was Zainab radiallahu anha. Because, not because her hand was longer or her arms were longer, but because she used to work with her hands and give charity from her earnings. So that was why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that she was going to be the first to join him after death. Okay, I'll stop there for today, inshallah, and I will continue with my program next week and give you more examples of Muslim women in the past of the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the wives of the Sahaba and their generosity, inshallah. So basically what our lesson for today is that we should be generous as Muslim women. We should be generous, and that should be one of our characteristics, generosity, and to be able to give freely from what we have. And, you know, whenever we hear the call for one who is in difficulty, or, you know, we should respond immediately, inshallah. Well, we stop there today, inshallah. We will continue next week. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments, and this time we'll be crossing over to KwaZulu-Natal. We'll be speaking to Mulana Muhammad Venka, and our topic of discussion this morning is the absence of barakah in our lives today. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zenith, and my guest on the slot is Mulana Mohammed Venker. He's from KwaZulu-Natal. Our topic this morning, inshallah, will be the absence of barakah in our lives today. Assalamu alaikum, Mulana. Jazakallahu khair for joining us this morning.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Sister Zenith, and assalamu alaikum to the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International. Barakallahu feekum on this beautiful Monday morning.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, indeed, it is a beautiful morning out here too, after our few cold days that we experienced. Well, Mulana, this life that we're living in really surprises and astonishes us. Despite all of the advancements we see in society, we find that these advancements in our society, they do not guarantee happiness in the way we have seen people attain happiness in the past. And this is all due to the absence of a matter which is extremely important. And without this particular thing, there is no meaning to life. And we ask ourselves, what is this important thing without which you cannot attain happiness in life? Indeed, O servants of Allah, it is attaining barakah, benefits, blessings in our life. There is no person who has a steadfast life and he does not receive blessings. What is the benefit of time if it has no blessings in it? What is the benefit of knowledge if it has no blessing in it? And what is the benefit of having food that has no blessings in it? Well, like I said, our guest today is Mulana Muhammad Vinka, and we are going to be talking about the absence of barakah in our lives today. So Mulana, having said all of that, you know, and many a times we use the word barakah so easily, but what does it actually mean? What does the word barakah mean to us?
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Nahmatuhu wa nusalli ala Rasulil al-Kareem, amma ba'd. We begin by praising Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We send countless blessings and salutations upon our Nabi and leader Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, this is a very vital, it's a very integral topic. When we look at the aspect of barakah, and we look at the definition of barakah, the understood meaning, and what the ulama have explained with regards to what is the true definition of barakah, that this is the missing ingredient in most of our lives. In fact, most of us, we find that we're going through such a phase in life where there's no barakah in time, there's no barakah in money, there's absolutely no barakah in our lives. So is there anything that we are doing that perhaps that is creating this problem in our lives? The ulama have written very beautifully that al-manafi'ul-kathira bi-asbabil-qaleela. With minimum provisions, you enjoy maximum benefit. Subhanallah. So you have a little that generates so much of good, that is barakah. Now on the other hand, you find some people, Allah has blessed them with so much. Allah has given them the best of dunya, but the man has got no peace in his life, he's got no contentment in his life, he's got no blessings in his life. So this, in the simplified way, what is the definition of barakah? You have little, but that little that you have will generate a lot of good. It will generate a lot of good. Subhanallah. What do we learn from the narration? Man radhiya. That person who is content and satisfied with what little Allah gives you, such a person, Allah will be happy with whatever little actions this person presents to Allah. So if you're content and satisfied, and remember the basic principle, Allah has taken the responsibility of satisfying the needs of man and not the greeds of man. Allah has taken the responsibility of satisfying the need of man and not the greed of man. Wallahi, people are trying to earn money today by avenues that are impermissible, that money will bring no joy. It will go from doctors, it will go to lawyers, it will go to problems and worries. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us a beautiful formula. And this is the question that we need to ask ourselves. How much of dua do we make? You know, when we make dua, do we make dua for barakah? You know, we make dua for this, we make dua for that. How much of dua do we make? That, oh Allah, grant me barakah in my blessings. Grant me barakah in my home. Grant me barakah in my children. Grant me barakah in my wealth.
Definitely. I mean, sometimes, Mulana, unfortunately, the reason why I wanted you to explain to us the meaning of this is that we sometimes do end up, we normally do make dua for barakah all the time, but the important thing is now that we know what we are actually asking for. I think that is what we really want to know. What are we asking for when we ask for barakah in our children, barakah in our wealth, in our homes, in our whatever?
Okay, well, let us look at one incident that is mentioned, the famous hadith of Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the home of Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Nabi alayhi salam read two rakats of salah. Anas's mother, Umm Sulaym, She presented some form of delicacy which was customary amongst the Arabs. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her that, my apologies, I am fasting. I cannot partake of this now, but we can have it later on. Nonetheless, a lengthy narration, she then mentioned to the Nabi of Allah, that, O Nabi of Allah, my son Anas, you love him so much. Why don't you dedicate a dua exclusively for Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu? Why don't you dedicate a dua exclusively for Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu? And this is something, just to digress for a minute. You know, how much of dua do we make? You know, we have become a nation that constantly complain. Although Allah has given us so much. You know, yesterday we could not afford it, we did without it. Allah has given us today so much, but we constantly complain. Do we make dua? Honestly, we need to ask ourselves, if we are making dua, for many of us, we are not convinced in our dua. We are not satisfied. We don't have conviction on what Allah Ta'ala has promised us. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he goes to one side of the house. Nabi Ali Salam called Anas, and Nabi Ali Salam made dua for him. That, oh Allah, you bless Anas, bless his wife, bless his family, bless his children, and Allah bless him in every aspect of his life, and you forgive him. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was asked that, what was the benefit of the dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made for you? He says, I was the only person in Medina that my date palms used to give off fruit twice every year. Everyone else used to harvest their crops once a year. I was the only person in Medina, after the Nabi of Allah made dua for me, I used to harvest my crops twice every year. What do we learn from this? Is that when you meet a pious person, ask him to make dua for you. Ask him to make dua for you. When you partake of a meal at somebody's house, one of the duas that we have been taught is, أَفْتَرَ عِنْدَكُمُ الصَّائِمُونَ وَأَكَلَ طَعَامُكُمُ الْأَبْرَارِ. That may the pious partake and eat of your food. So take the duas of the pious. What do we learn? The ulama have written, when a pious servant of Allah, he passes through a locality, Allah Ta'ala pardons those who are living in that locality by the mere passing of the pious servant of Allah. So what do we learn from these narrations? Number one, we need to make dua. We need to make dua for barakah. So barakah does not necessarily mean that, you know what, that you will get more money, but that little that you have will generate such good. When we look at our pious predecessors, Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i, who is one of the great jurists of this ummah, you know, Imam Shafi'i, he had memorized the Quran al-Kareem at the age of 7. At the age of 9, he had memorized the Mu'atta of Imam Malik. At the age of 15, Imam Malik became the Grand Mufti. He was issuing fatwa and verdicts on Islam at the age of 15. He passed away in his early 40s. But subhanallah, what Imam Shafi'i had achieved in 40 years, the average individual, I doubt, will achieve in 400 years. You know, we look at the famous tafsir of Jalalain. You know, the author of the book writes, he says, أَلَّفْتُهُ فِي قَدْرِ مِعَادِ الْكَلِيمِ. Allah favored me to compile the commentary of half the Quran in the duration that Musa alayhi salam went to meet Allah at Mount Tur, and that was 40 days. Now, his 40 days also comprised of 24 hours. But what they achieved in 40 days, subhanallah, you and I cannot achieve in 40 years. We find they had a short life, but they had a meaningful life. And one of the reasons, you know, for the absence of barakah that the ulama have given, there are 13 points that they speak about. Time does not permit us to discuss all that. But one of the things that the ulama speak about is that when a person is drowning in sin, when a person transgresses the orders of Allah, then this removes and eradicates, you know, barakah from a person's life. This is the golden principle. We want barakah in our lives, make a lot of dua to the Almighty Allah. Ask Allah for forgiveness, and then you will see barakah at every step of the way. If you look at the duas of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make a lot of dua for barakah. When Nabi alayhi salam used to drink milk, what he used to say? Allahumma barik lana fihi wa at'imna khayran minhu. Oh Allah, you bless us in this meal. When he used to eat, he used to say, oh Allah, bless us. Allahumma barik lana fi sa'ina. Allahumma barik lana fi madinatina. Oh Allah, you bless us. You bless us in whatever you give us. So Nabi alayhi salam used to make a lot of dua for barakah. So one of those things, like we had mentioned, that takes away barakah from our lives is that when a person constantly sins against Allah, when a person transgresses the orders of Allah, you know, then we find that barakah will be snatched away. So this is something, you know, that we need to look at. And the flip side of the coin, you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said closer to Qiyamah, the famous hadith, that فَتَكُونُ السَّنَةُكَ الشَّهْرِ وَشَهْرُكَ الْجُمْعَةِ, where a year will literally lapse and pass by like a month like a week like a day. Time will literally rapidly pass by. What is the meaning of this hadith? Does it mean that, you know, time will literally rapidly pass by? There are two interpretations that the ulama have given so beautifully. They say, number one, time will move at its normal, natural pace. It does not mean at that time there was more than 24 hours. We find 24 hours. At that time there was 24 hours. Time will move at its normal, natural pace. But people will become gripped in their own misery, in their own anxiety, and people will lose absolute focus of time. That my child is born today, in the blink of an eye, my child is walking, in the blink of an eye, he is going to school, in the blink of an eye, he is attending university, and I look and I reflect, 20 years of my son's life, where has it gone to? In the blink of an eye. So we find that people will be engrossed in their own misery, in their own anxiety, and people would lose absolute focus of time. So that is when a person, when a person's focus in life is not Allah. Nabi alayhi salam told Anas, beautiful advisors. He said, Anas, you want barakah in your life? You need to do five things. You need to do five things. When you perform salah, make sure you perform your wudu correctly. Make sure you perform your wudu correctly, you will see barakah in your life. You know, sometimes you find that it's a cold winter's night. You can have a jacket on, you can have a jersey on, you can have underfloor heating, but somewhere along the line, the cold will catch up with you. Similarly, Nabi alayhi salam, we look at the advices that he had given, and you know, it does not make sense logically, but Islam does not apply to logic. Allah's Nabi has meant it, has mentioned it, I accept it. What did Nabi alayhi salam say? Make wuzu properly, Allah will give you barakah, O Anas. Number two, when you enter your house, there's so much of rivalry in our homes today. There's such animosity. There's such hatred in our homes today. Nabi alayhi salam told Anas, when you enter your house, make salam. That is where you will see barakah. Number three, Anas, is that do not omit the forenoon prayer, which is known as Salatul Chasht, between sunrise and midday. At least two rakats of salah. Read the two rakats. Allah will give you the reward as though you had discharged charity and sadaqah on every joint of the body. By virtue of that, O Anas, you will find barakah in your life. So these are simple, basic prescriptions that Allah's Nabi has given us. So just to answer the question once again, barakah does not necessarily mean that a person has a lot of wealth, a person has a lot of this, a lot of that. But what does barakah mean? A person has little, but that little generates so much of good. That is barakah.
Alhamdulillah. Malana, you know, like we were talking about the previous generations, but I also want you to perhaps just talk a little more about it. You know, many of us lack barakah in our lives as compared to the previous generations. We have so much now, yet we have so little. Can you, you know, just elaborate a little on that?
Okay, when we look at the lives of our pious predecessors, and I will just quote to you names of, you know, of those individuals that perhaps many of us have heard about. Imam Ghazali, the great giant, Imam Ghazali, who has written Ihya ul-Ulumuddin, you know, which is a masterpiece. He passed away at the age of 55. He passed away at the age of 55. I mentioned to you about Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i. Imam Shafi'i passed away in his early 40s. Like that, we look at the lives of so many of the awliya, so many pious servants of Allah. Some of them passed away at an early age, but they left behind a positive legacy. So everything is linked to Allah. If a person has Allah in his life, then you will find within a short space of time, you will generate a lot of barakah. Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i, you know, in fact, the quotation comes to mind when he was on his deathbed. you know, one of his students entered to greet him, and they said, كيف أصبحت يا إمام? Oh, Imam Shafi'i, what does it look like? He said, أصبحت من الدنيا راحلة. I am on my way out of this world. والإخواني مفارقة. And very soon I would have to separate from those around me. Imam Shafi'i, it is written about him that in the month of Ramadan, he used to complete 60 Qur'ans. One Qur'an by day, one Qur'an by night. In essence, he completed 60 Qur'ans. But like we had mentioned, their days also comprised of 24 hours. But it was through this barakah that Allah Ta'ala had blessed them, you know, with so much of goodness in the day. The little that they had generated so much of barakah. We look at our lives today, and how many people complain that years ago, I earned one-tenth of the salary that I am earning today, but we find that I had something left end of the month. Today I am earning 10 times more, yet I find end of the month I've got absolutely nothing. One of the beautiful du'as that Nabi alayhi salam has taught us, Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani, ثم بارك لي فيه. We're speaking about barakah. Oh Allah, grant me contentment in what you have provided for me, and then you grant me barakah. Grant me barakah. Oh Allah, don't grant me so much that I don't find any goodness. Give me little, that little will generate so much of good. This is what I want from you, oh Allah.
Alhamdulillah. So Mawlana, you know, we all know that we all want barakah in our lives, but what does it actually mean, you know, to suffer from the lack of barakah? How would we know that this person, or we, for that matter, are suffering from the lack of barakah in our lives?
Okay, when we look at our lives, every person can look at our lives on the individual level. You know, one of the absence of barakah is, like the ulama have written, when a person does not have the desire of obeying Allah, when a person finds it difficult to carry out the orders of Allah, when we look at the lives of Sahaba, minimum they took, minimum they asked for, you know, and they lived their lives in that way. Unfortunately, today greed has overtaken us. As a result, it is never enough. One of the greatest fears that people have today is that, you know, the wealth that Allah has given me, I will outlive my wealth. I will outlive that wealth. So you'll find a person who's 60 years old who's still planning for the next 30 years. Live for the day. Allah has taken the responsibility of satisfying the needs of man and not the greeds of man. So this is something that, you know, affects people on a different level. Some people, they find the lack of barakah in the wealth. Some people do not find barakah. If we look at our homes today, there's so much of luxuries, comforts that we have in our homes that was never found in the years gone by. I mean, we have appliances. You know, today when it comes to food, we find many of our sisters, instead of preparing the food, they buy the food. Yet still we find there's no barakah in our lives. We get up in the morning, we plan to do 10 things for the day. End of the day, we have not achieved not even 3 of those things. So this is as a result, the ulama have written, when a person, you know, when a person's focus is not Allah, when a person turns away from Allah, then we will find that these things, then everything will get the better of us. We will not be able to achieve what we want to in life. So yeah, again, we need to make a lot of dua. If we study the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what stands out loud and clear at every step of the way, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a lot of dua for barakah. He made a lot of dua for barakah. And in our lives, we make dua, but are we honestly making dua from our hearts? You know, are we honestly making dua? Do we have conviction in what Allah has given us? So subhanAllah, this is something very, very important. It's the missing ingredient. It's a fundamental ingredient, you know, in our lives. And like I mentioned, many people are guilty of it. Mm-hmm. And as a result of various crimes that we commit, you know, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala snatches away and takes away this barakah, you know, from our lives. And very, very important, the ulama have explained that for a person to attain barakah, you know, in the wealth, for a person to attain barakah in this dunya, a person's earnings has to be halal. A person's income has to be halal. Wallahi, that wealth that is tainted with the sweat and the blood of others. How many people are guilty of this? Owing people money, living a luxurious life. you know, you find that today people are owing but living a comfortable life, driving the best, living in the best. The wealth that you have will not bring you any good. It's tainted with the blood and the sweat of others.
Of course, yes, Maulana, and also with regards wealth, interest also plays a very important role. With regards that, perhaps Maulana can just
Explain. With regards to interest, you know, the Quran says, "فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ." Allah says, "Stay away, give up interest." فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا, if you will not stay away from interest, Allah says you have declared war with Allah and His Nabi. And which person can ever win in a war with Allah? Which person can ever win in a war with Allah? So if a person's income is contaminated, a person's income is haram, then a person will see all the repercussions of the negative consequences in his life. What did Nabi alayhi salam say? What did Umar radiallahu ta'ala say? We gave up 9/10 of those things that were halal, fearing that we must not border on something that is haram. We had given up 9/10 of that which was halal, fearing that we must not border on something that has a shadow of doubt in it. That has a shadow of doubt in it. What did Nabi alayhi salam say? A person will purchase a garment for 10 dirhams. 9 will be halal, 1 will be haram. Allah will not accept the salah of that person as long as he performs salah with that garment. What did he say? 9 halal, 1 haram. Allah forbid today 9 is haram and 1 may be halal. And then we're asking for barakah in our lives. Our lives are, you know, revolving around interest. We're transgressing the orders of Allah. You can make a lot of dua. Like the great scholar, Haji Baitadi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, may Allah fill his qabr with nur. He used to always say, you're asking me to make dua. When I'm going in the rain, make dua, I don't get wet. Inevitably, you need to take the precaution. You need to cover yourself. You need to carry the umbrella. You need to take some cover. Then you'll be saved and protected from the rain. But here, what are we doing to protect ourselves? We need to protect ourselves, and then we make dua to the Almighty Allah, and then we will see divine goodness coming down from the heavens.
Alhamdulillah. Just one more, Maulana, with regards to knowledge. Now, it is said that, you know, what is the benefit of knowledge if it has no blessing in it? Could Maulana explain that to us?
Yes. With regards to knowledge, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a time will come prior to Qiyamah where people will recite the Quran. The Quran will not go beyond the collarbone. They will not. What is knowledge? Knowledge is that which benefits you. If a person acquires, you are not acquiring knowledge, you are acquiring that which benefits you. If it is benefiting you, then it is knowledge. If not, it is mere information. So we know so much, but we practice on so little. So like Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullahi Ali used to explain, what is the definition of knowledge? That knowledge that benefits you and that knowledge that manifests in your life, that will generate, you know, the goodness in your life, inshallah.
Well, Jazakallah khair, Maulana, for a wonderful and informative program once again. And unfortunately, we've come to the end of our program. We certainly do appreciate all these valuable lessons that you share with us. Jazakallah khair once again. And inshallah, we'll have you with us again, inshallah, in a fortnight.
Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And that brings us to the end of this program this morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.